reading tonight is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me."
So, if you don't know who I am, I'm Tim. I'm one of the co-pastors here along with two bearded men who look nothing like me but look like each other a great deal. I have this, just to make a plug for something we do, I have this thing here, which obviously is not amplifying anything, but we do record our talks here. So if you, have to miss or whatever, or get sick or something, or you can always go online and hear what was said. If it's not up there, it's because we're ashamed of it. We're like, the batteries went out, but usually it's like, man, that was really bad. Let's not put that up there. I'm just kidding. We don't do that. So one of the great sort of questions I get asked a lot, have been asked in my life numerous times, is from curious people, curious friends, people in the church, is how do I really know that God... Let me rephrase this. How do I really know that it is God that is talking to me? How do I really know that it is God that is talking to me? Now, there are certain variations of this question, right, that are obvious, I think. And you can break this question down into its most basic form. We can go from, how do I really know that it is God that is talking to me? We could say, does God talk to me, right? Or does God talk? Right? Or we could even say, is there a God, right? All these variations I've had to confront at various times in my life, I have to think about. But I want to sort of focus our attention on the original way that I put it. Which is, how do I really know that it is God that is talking to me? I think if we focus on this question, it'll sort of get at answering or thinking about those other questions. Now, in the passages we just heard, something like this question is asked of Jesus, right? And the people who are asking, they want Jesus to give them a yes or no answer. But he doesn't do that, right? He often doesn't really do what people want. And so what is his answer? He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Or you could also say, "My sheep recognize my voice." So I think that's a really sort of interesting answer you could give to that, right? One way to sort of think about it is if you said, again, how do I really know that it is God that is talking to me? Jesus' answer would be something like, if you knew, you would know. That's it, right? Any questions? I'm guessing that may not be sufficient enough of an answer for some of us here. So I'm going to return back to that question at the end and sort of circle around to it. But, for the past couple of weeks here, we've been talking about this idea of big pictures or images of God, right? By that, we mean something like, what are the ways that we understand reality to be really, really real? Right? How do we understand the true picture of life to be? What does that look like to us, right? And these sorts of views, again, Neil has talked about this, are not simply religious. They can be political, they can be sociological, they can be scientific. And Neil also has sort of challenged us to think about these big pictures in a fascinating way, right? The challenge is asking us not to sort of get rid of big pictures because they're not inclusive enough or not tolerant enough. The challenge is for us to imagine a way of having these realities present to us. We don't deny the importance of their existence for us, but we somehow do it in such a manner that everyone else's picture can be included. one way to put it sort of more philosophically would be to say something like, we take a plurality of universals, right? A plurality of things that we see to be true all across the board. So I want to talk about big pictures and images of God by focusing our attention on the most familiar part, right? The part that involves the direct life that you and I live, right? The experiences that we've had, right? That make us identify ourselves as ourselves. You know, for me, a real quick way to say it, you know, I'm a male, I'm 29, gonna be 30 in like 3 weeks. I'm terribly dreading that. Born in the 80s to Korean-American, or not Korean-Americans, I'm a Korean-American, Korean immigrants who came in the 70s, raised in Southern California, largely raised by my deceased grandmother who was alive during the Korean War and had to flee during that time and had a very different and hard life than I did. My struggles were more like I was forced to learn instruments as a child, and I became a pastor's kid by the time I was in junior high school. I became a double pastor's kid by the time I was in college. I mean, there's obviously much more I could say, right? But you get the idea, like this is sort of who I am, where I'm coming from. I'm talking about thinking again, what is, looking, as we look at big pictures, looking actually at the small things, at ourselves. I wrote a reflection in our newsletter this week that may or may not have been read by you. And I talk about seeing this painting of what you might call Chinese-us, right? I was at this retreat center, and at this retreat center, there are a bunch of paintings depicting stories from the New Testament. But everybody in these paintings is Chinese. And they not like Chinese or Asian looking like I do, like straight up, old school, Fu Manchu, hat, you know, like old school Asian stuff, right? And I remember looking at that and thinking it was like such a bizarre thing to see. As I thought about it more, you do see that there are a lot of different representations of Jesus out there, right? These representations, they often reflect very clearly the lives and experiences of the people who drew them. We've seen white Jesus, actually, all around this room, if one looks, right? And so, when I think about that, I do come to this conclusion that when we think about things that mean something to us, that like compel us, that move us, these things often look like us, right? And God is sort of not exempt from that. There are people who find hope in seeing God, and not just God, right, but this idea that God is with them, right? And not just with them, but this idea that God is for them, right? And not just for them, but this idea that God is actually like them. Right? We can't help it. This is, if you're a human being, and I'm guessing that you are, you think this way. The things that sort of liberate us, that we love, they look like us. They're shaped by our experiences. They're filtered through all the stuff inside of us, stuff that's great, stuff that's not so great. I think it's hard to argue this point. I mean, if you look at the body of evidence, it's very clear that we're hard-pressed to have purely objective view of things. And even if you look in like Christian history, right, from within, you look within Christian history, you're going to see, again, this like shifting, changing, always in tension, always debating movement, right, that is reflecting the sort of issues and thoughts and things of the time, right? I'm thinking right now, today, we see, even in sort of the evangelical church, more conservative churches where I grew up in, there's a lot of movement going on with their sort of stance with being queer, right? And 10 years ago, there'd be like, that wouldn't have even been a discussion. But somehow, in a good way, in my opinion, in a godly way, that conversation is changing. And we see again, you cannot sort of deny what is happening around you and what you're experiencing into how you think God moves. And so here lies something interesting about that, if that is true, which is that there also comes something of an anxiety when we think about it that way. It sort of brings to the surface a bit of a fear, I think. A fear that our experiences, our histories, my Korean-Americanness, my soon-to-be 30-ness, don't actually help me find truth, but somehow hinder me from finding truth. How do I really know that it is God that is talking to me? How do I know that God is not merely a projection of myself? This is it's a very necessary question we have to ask ourselves. For as beautiful as something like Chinese-ish might be for some people, the destruction that we know to have happened and is always happening at the hands of human beings and our inability to sort of see that our perspective is our perspective, the terrible things that have been done in the name of God, the evil that has been in this world and will always continue to be, really puts a damper on this idea that we can't help but look at God through our experiences, you know? And I think, you know, that's like a very true and serious thing. I mean, it's also very true in the smaller things that we think about when we think about how we talk about God or who God means to us. I want to, you know, we had a little bit of an interesting discussion last dinner about pronouns for God, and I do my best personally to, for example, never say refer to God as a he, right? I think for me that's something important, and it may seem sort of trivial, right? It's like he, she, whatever, it's God, not a big deal, but for me, when I think about it, it's like it might be a stupid point, but when we use particular pronouns, we are actually reflecting something about ourselves, right? And in turn, reflecting that about God as well. We affirm, in my opinion, when we use a pronoun like he, this sort of patriarchal order, an assumption about power and divinity that is generally relegated to males in society. We talk about God in male form. We are giving sort of divinity to our social prejudices. So to change the way that we actually talk about God is to sort of get that to change a little bit. It may be a small step, but it is something that we do, right? And so it's not simple enough, again, for me to just be like, yo, we bring our own experiences to how we view God, and that's it, and it's all good, right? That's not true either. There are both sides. I was talking to a lady one time, and I say lady because I was trying to court her. To use an old-fashioned term. And I met up with her one night to have a talk, and we were having a nice conversation. It was very pleasant. I don't really remember much of it, but I do remember all of a sudden she asked me, are you lonely? Right? And immediately I was like, feeling very defensive. Like, what am I supposed to say to that? You know, yes, I am lonely. But more than that, I understood the implication of the question, right? The implication of the question is something like, is that the reason why you're here right now? Is it because you're lonely? You know, for her, that was a bad thing, right? And looking at that now, I was like, I don't know if I quite felt lonely in the way that she thought I might have felt lonely, but, I mean, I sure feel lonely sometimes. I mean, who doesn't, you know? But I was also like, what kind of question is that to ask? It obviously didn't go very well. But I think about that because I think about what it means. Like, what are we looking for when we think about having a pure experience? Right? What does it mean for us to have a purity of an emotion, for example? How is that possible, even? How is it possible for the voice of God to truly be God, right? To be purely God? How is it that my picture of reality is not something I just made up? When I think about a question like, are you lonely? And I think that if we're honest with ourselves, there are ways in which we sort of do that with a lot of things. Maybe most obviously with the people that we want to be romantically involved with, but we often are looking for purity of motivation, purity of experience, again, emotion. It's almost like we want to shed ourselves of our humanity, shed ourselves of our particulars, to define sort of what is pure and what is natural as like removing that element. What if I was lonely? You know, like removing these things is to sort of remove the fact that like I'm a human being, right? Is it sort of to remove the fact that I'm a human being with all those traits that I described earlier about where I was born and what kind of parents I had and what kind of lives they lived and how those lives affect me. This is more or less the question I want to sort of ask, right? Again, this question, how do I really know that it is God that is talking to me? I part of me wants to be like, all right, that's it. Think about that question. Good luck. But that'd be an asshole move. So I will say something about what I think about that the answer could be. For me, the answer, again, I mean, I sort of go back to Jesus here, is like, when he just like, you just know, right? And this, the thing about it is that just knowing is like, strangely, in one side, yes, I definitely know. And on the other side, it's simultaneously somehow, I have no idea. I really don't know. Like both these things are true together somehow. They're true together in the way that I think a plurality of universals could actually even work, right? True in the sense of, again, I know for sure, and on the other side, I really have no idea. I don't know. True in the way that living with courage, living with our convictions takes a lot of courage. True in the way that it takes a lot of fear and trembling as well, right? Fear and trembling meaning being humble, being open, being admitting the other side, which is, I have no idea. To me, when I think about the person who knows God is talking to them, the true believer, as you might say, the true believer is not one who makes an idol, right? Who sets a sort of in stone idea of who God is, right? Who proclaims that the idol is so true, and is so fervent in that proclamation that they become reckless and they can't help but betray that their contempt for people who don't agree with them, right? To me, the true believer, the one who hears God, who knows the answer to that question, how do I really know that it is God that is speaking to me? That believer, again, is someone who walks in humility, who listens well, who lives life, again, it's strange, but simultaneously as if they're so sure of what the answer is, and simultaneously so open, so willing to grow and learn and change. So willing to engage in a community like this, where if I said to you, so yeah, I heard God talk to me, he told me to, trying to say something not that offensive. It's in my mind. He told me to murder everybody, right?
Totally not.
Right. That a community would be like, I don't think that that's God, right? Sort of like how it works, in my opinion. So again, this person is humble, open, really passionate, really convicted, yet malleable, and knows that they're not the be-all, end-all. This is the person to me who has heard truly the voice of God. So that's all I wanted to say. And I think, for me, again, I sort of shared, I didn't get too much into this, but I did share a little bit about how I would describe myself, when giving these descriptions. Like, I obviously chose particular ones, right? I went sort of with my race, I went with sort of like the life that my grandmother lived. Like, these are sort of what came to me immediately. I could have said a lot of different things. I like basketball, and I like tacos, and my favorite movie is about teacher who does cocaine on the side and is trying to deal with this.
Half Nelson.
I could have said a lot of different things, but that's what I sort of chose. And so my question would be, I think we need to think a little bit about, like, what is our description of ourselves that sort of comes to bear when we ask ourselves how we think about God. And that could be in a little story. It could be a couple short descriptions like I gave. But we're going to break up into little groups. You could do like half a table, this table, all of itself. And sort of, yeah, share. See if you could share that with each other. And we'll do that for about 5 to 10 minutes.